Since 1937, the lights of spiritual guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you enjoyed that song sung by my father and his quartet, the Ambassadors Quartet, and that's the group that sang with my dad when he was doing tent revivals back during the war years. The song was taken off a 78 RPM record, and we did our best to clean it up so you could at least hear the voices and the music. I trust it was a blessing. And I thought it would be fitting to play that song since I'm playing the second half of my dad's signature sermon, The Heavenly Porter, on the program today. And if you like The Heavenly Porter and you would like your own copy, I'll be glad to send it to you. All you have to do is write me a letter or send me an email. You can write the letter to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or email me, lanelohman@me.com. Of course, we need your financial help to stay on your radio station. If you can enclose a gift, write to us. If you would just do that, that would mean so much. Write the letter to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lohmanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Well, this weekend, this last weekend of the month of September, I am in Hurricane West Virginia at the Church of the Nazarene at September the 29th through October the 2nd. And then October the 6th, I'm going to be in Kurtz, Indiana for Sunday morning only. And then October 11 to 13, I'll be in Orleans, Indiana at the Church of the Nazarene. And then October 20 to 23, Flemingsburg, Kentucky, again at the Church of the Nazarene. So I do covet your prayers as I am involved in these revival meetings and speaking engagements. Father, I want to pray for my listening audience today, and I ask that you would be there with them today, wherever they are, whoever they are. You know every one of our needs. You know where we are spiritually. And I pray that for that person that needs to look to you for forgiveness, for saving grace, may they do that today. I pray for that person that needs encouragement. I pray that the sermon would encourage them today. I pray that you would be with the churches as they meet together, and you would anoint the pastors and the people as they worship and share the word of God together. I ask it all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
His children, His sweet Holy Spirit now floods through my soul. Jesus is here to bless all His children.
So good in my soul and in my body that I stretched out on my bunk and I didn't have any trouble going to sleep that night, and I had a good night's rest. The next morning when I got up and put on my clothes, I reached under my berth to get my shoes. Now I told you that I dodged those water puddles and all the filth between those tracks, and when I put my shoes under that berth that night, and they were so dirty and slime was put between the soles and grit was there, and you know when I pulled them out the next morning, I sat there and looked at them, and brother, you talk about having a hard time retaining myself, and I looked at my shoes. There wasn't a spot on them. There wasn't any grit there. There wasn't any slime. There wasn't any dirt on them at all. They were perfectly, spotlessly clean. And the thought dawned on me that that's exactly what the heavenly porter does for you. You see, beloved, that porter not only had the job to get me on board, but he had a cleansing ministry to perform after he got me on board. And brother, there he was. Now, if I'd have said to him the night before, now, Mr. Porter, I don't want you to bother my shoes. I know they're dirty, but just leave them to me. They'd have been just as dirty the next morning as they were when I put them under there. That's the real lot of folks, beloved, are not getting a real relationship with the Lord and know the blessings of old-fashioned salvation. It's because they won't let the heavenly porter perform the cleansing ministry. I got news for you. He can take out the spots, and he can take care of all the grime and all the dirt and all the filth, and he can make you clean on the inside of your soul. And I went on down, beloved, unto the washroom, and I shaved and cleaned up, came back to my berth, and he'd already made up the bed. And I sat down there in that seat, and it was almost breakfast time. And normally the waiter up from the dining car, when we had good trains, would come back, and he'd say, "Breakfast is being served in the dining car." He must have been busy, because my porter came back through that car and he said, "Breakfast is served in the dining car." Now, I was feeling good physically and spiritually too. I didn't need to push the button and ask for the porter, but if I'd have needed that porter and if I hadn't been feeling good, I could have pushed that button and that porter would have come back and I could have said, "Now, Mr. Porter, I don't feel up to par this morning, and if you don't mind, would you go up and get my breakfast for me and bring it back here to my particular position here in this car." You see, they got a little slot over there on the window where they bring a table and stick it in that slot and fold it out before you, and there's the table just right there, and he could have brought my breakfast and set it there, and I could have eaten breakfast right there and never gone to the dining car. Well, you say, "Brother Loman, that doesn't have any spiritual application." Oh, yes, it does. Well, bless your heart, brother. If you let the porter take care of you, the book says that he'll spread a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And brother, he'll put on that table honey out of the rock and Escal grapes out of the master's vineyard. And brother, spread it with heavenly manna, and you can get fat in your soul. Brother, sister, partaking of the things the Lord provides for you. And a lot of folks will stand around and wonder how you're getting along so good, and wonder how you're keeping fat in your soul. Now listen, friend, you can talk about the holiness terminology and the theological expressions all you please and still be dried up and be a spiritual anemic, but you don't have to live like that. Brother, there's enough provisions on the master's table until you can partake and keep fat in your soul and enjoy the blessings of the overflow and graze in the green clover field and enjoy, beloved, everything that he provides for you. And a lot of folks will stand off and wonder how on earth you're making it as easy as you are. Well, brother, that's not too hard to understand. The natural man does not understand the things of God, neither doth he know them, for they're unto him spiritually discerned. But I'm so glad that the heavenly porter not only gets you on board, he looks after you while you're on board, he takes care of the cleansing ministry after you get on board, and he'll look after you if you let him while you're on board. Hallelujah. We got on up into the edge of Georgia, and that porter came back through that car with a big arm full of pillows. And he stopped where I was sitting. And he said, "Mister, you know he never had asked me my name. He never had asked me where I'd been or where I was going. And just let me deviate at this point to tell you, friend, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. But he's vitally concerned about where you're going. And it doesn't matter whether you live in a ranch style on the boulevard, whether you got stocks and bonds and real estate, or whether you live in a little log cabin down on a country road where you can't get into in the wintertime when the weather gets so bad. The heavenly porter, blessed be God, is concerned not about who you are, where you've been, but he's vitally concerned about where you're going. And he'll look after you on the journey." I said yes to that porter. "I'd like to have a pillow for my head." It was a long trip, and I thought I could relax and rest a while. And he laid those pillows over on the other seat and fluffed up one of those downy pillows and put it under my head. He said, "Now rest a while if you can, sir." Tears came to my eyes and rolled down across my face. I said, "That's just exactly what the heavenly porter has told me and permitted me to do more than one time."
Yeah.
Just nestle my head on his bosom. And friend, if you've been in the way very long, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
1952 was the darkest year of my Christian experience. I'd been in the business world during the war years. I was in the funeral business. I had two funeral homes and a flower shop. And God permitted every bit of that to be swept away to show me that He wanted me right where I am this morning. I never questioned God. The devil tried to make me feel that God didn't love me for permitting the losses to come. But I had a faithful companion and a little wife that loved the Lord and knew how to take care of things in those treacherous days. I was in a meeting in our hometown, tried to preach one night and got in the brush, I felt. I didn't feel like my message got across. And yet God gave us souls. Yeah. People that know me best know that I'm not an isolationist. I don't preach and slip out the side door and go to my room. I like people. I love people and I like to make friends. Yeah. But that night I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was so down. The pressure was heavy. I reached the place where I didn't want to hear the phone ring. I didn't want to pick up my mail. I didn't want anybody to ring the doorbell. I came to the place where I knew why some people commit suicide. And that night, Elizabeth and the children came onto the car. I don't believe there's a word spoken all the way home. We put the children to bed. She said, I'm going to finish my ironing before I go to bed. And I went in and laid down across the bed as fully clothed as I am right now. And the devil came. And he perched on my bedpost and he said, Loman, you're a fool. God doesn't love you. If God loved you, He wouldn't have permitted these losses to come. If He loved you, He would not have permitted you to have made such a mess trying to preach tonight. He just about had me convinced in those moments that God didn't care. But I stood it as long as I could. And you know, that's the amazing part about our wonderful Lord. He may not come ahead of time, but I've never known Him to be a minute late. Just when I need Him most. Jesus is near. Always to comfort. Always to cheer. And just when I'd taken all I could, the heavenly porter spoke to me. He said, son, lay your head over on my bosom. I got something to tell you. This is what he said. When thou walkest through the waters, they'll not overflow thee. And through the fires, thou shalt not be burned. I've called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. I came off that bed and I began to rejoice. Elizabeth said, what is it? I said, I just heard from heaven, honey. Listen, friend, I'm so glad that He's promised to take care of us in the hour of the existing extremes. And I like His promise that He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust.
Yeah, wonderful.
But after a while, the porter came back through the train, and I called him. I said, Mr. Porter, I want to ask you a question. I said, how far are you going on this trip? And ladies and gentlemen, I almost didn't stay in my seat. He said, sir, he said, I'm a-going with you to the end of the line. I said, that's exactly what the heavenly porter told me when I got on board. He'd never leave me nor forsake me, but He'd go with me to the end of the age. I'll be 40 years old in the Lord the 18th of next month. Oh, how I thank God for His presence. How I thank God that He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me I'm His own. The wonderful presence. The nearness of His Spirit. But you say, Brother Woman, how about the storms? Oh, beloved, hear me. He provides a hiding place. I was in the Midwest some years ago in a meeting. Invited out to a fashionable farm home one evening for dinner. And the man that owned that beautiful farm was in the chicken business. He raised chickens. And there was a storm brewing in the west. And out there in that backyard, and the wash area was overlooking the backyard, there was a mother hen pecking away in the sand here, and a brood of baby chicks over here. And all of a sudden there was a flash of lightning and a clap of thunder. I never had heard it before, and I never heard it since, but I heard that mother hen call her baby chicks. And every one of them ran single file, and when they got near, she lifted her feathered wings. Yeah. And every one of those little baby chicks got under those feathered wings near to her breast, and when they all got under, she put her wings down.
Yeah.
The lady of the house said, "Brother Loman, we're waiting for you." I said, "Well, I'm sorry, but you'll just have to wait, because what I see right now means more to me than food." And they all came. They said, "What's attracted your attention?" I said, "You see that mother hen out there in the face of this impending storm?" I said, "Every one of her little baby chicks are under those feathered wings."
Yeah.
For a hiding place.
Yeah.
His presence.
Wonderful.
But after a while, he said to me, and I hastened to close. He said to me, finally, he said, "Sir, what's your destination?" I said, "Greensboro, North Carolina." And he stood there for a minute as if he was trying to figure up how far it might be to where I was going. And he said, "You know, you'll soon be home."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Brother Fisher, more than one time in recent months,
yeah,
the way has seemed so long.
Yeah.
I've never got tired or weary of the way, even though I've gotten tired and weary in the way. Bodies get tired and minds get weary, and you wonder how far it is home.
Yeah.
How long?
Yeah.
But then the Holy Spirit, the heavenly porter, will whisper,
"Yeah.
You'll soon be home."
Yeah.
Not too long. And then he says, "Just occupy."
Yeah.
"Just occupy till it come."
Yeah.
We got all over it to High Point, North Carolina, and that was the last stop before home. And I'd already sent a telegram to my wife for her to get somebody to bring the children, and I wanted them to meet me at the station. I lived a lonely life, living out of a suitcase week after week and month after month. And I was looking forward to that family reunion. And when the train pulled into the station, I saw my companion and my children. My little girl saw me first. She said, "There's my daddy." The porter had already picked up my suitcase and taken it to the loading platform. And when I got ready to get off, I reached in my pocket and I got a little larger piece of money than normally I would have given. And when I stepped off, I put it in his hand and I said, "Mr. Porter, I want you to know how much I appreciate you getting me on board this train, looking after me, and giving me the care you did."
Yeah.
"For all these miles." I said, "This is a little token of appreciation and thanks. I've thought so many times, and I've reached the place anymore, that it's hard for me to ask the Lord for very much. I'm spending most of my time these days trying to catch up on thanks and gratitude."
Yeah.
"And appreciation."
Amen.
"Yeah, but you say, Brother Loman, wonder how long it's going to be till we'll get there. I don't know. And I know the devil gives some of us a battle as to whether or not we're going to be able to make it."
Yeah.
"Because this old world's not a friend of grace." But Dr. H.C. Morrison, that eminent preacher, and I close with this, some years ago went around the world in the interest of the kingdom of God. The President of the United States went around the world at the same time in the interest of better foreign relations. Dr. Morrison came home on the same ocean liner that the President of the United States came home on. When they pulled into harbor at New York City, they notified the passengers that everybody would have to stay back until the presidential party disembarked. Dr. Morrison said, "When I looked out to the harbor at New York, there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that had gathered there to welcome the president home."
Yeah.
He said, "The bands were playing, the bunting was out, The flags were waving in the breeze. What a welcome. And he said, after the presidential party disembarked, they told the other passengers they could go. And he said, I walked down the gangplank and not one soul greeted me. He said, I got a taxi and went to the railroad station, boarded a little train for Wilmore, Kentucky. And he said, the train pulled into the station at Wilmore, and not one soul greeted me. And he said, I picked up my little makeshift suitcase and started up the street. And the devil said, Henry, is it worth it? The president went around the world in the interest of foreign relations. Look what kind of welcome he got when he got home. Yeah. You went around the world in the interest of the kingdom of God. Nobody here to welcome you home. And he said, for a moment, I was almost in the throes of despair when the Holy Spirit said, Henry, tell the devil that you're not home yet. That you just stopped off at Wilmore on the way. Because when you get home, I'll have the patriarchs to meet you. And the hallelujah chorus will sing for you. And the angelic band will play Amazing Grace for you. There'll be a welcome such as you've never known before when you get home. I'm so glad, beloved, this morning that one day he commanded the porter to watch. Bless his name.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel and Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fosteria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at the same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.